You have the word of the Lord with you this day if you turn to Mark chapter 12. One of the things that we have, Mabel and myself, has continued to do as a family is, and her mom and dad did with their family, was after they had dinner, they would always read a chapter in the Bible. And we've been reading through the New Testament, and we're into the book of Mark right now. And we were just reading this the other day, and it really had an impression upon my heart. And I'd like to read this, and with the Lord willing, expound upon it a little bit. And I'd like to start reading it, verse 28 and go down to verse 34. And one of the scribes came, and having heard them reasoning together and perceiving that he had answered them well, asked him, "What is the first commandment of all?" And Jesus answered him, "The first of all the commandments is, 'Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy mind and with all thy strength.' This is the first commandment. And the second is like, namely, this: thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. There is none other commandment greater than these." And the scribe said unto him, "Well, Master, thou hast said the truth, for there is one God and there is none other but he. And to love him with all the heart and with all the understanding and with all the soul and with all the strength, and to love his neighbor as himself, is more than all whole burnt offerings and sacrifices." And when Jesus saw that he answered discreetly, he said unto him, "Thou art not far from the kingdom of God." And no man after that durst ask him any questions. So we go back and we look at verse 28. And one of the scribes came, and having heard them reasoning together, and perceiving that he had answered them well, asked him, "Which is the first commandment of all?" Now we can see that this man, he says, and he was one of the scribes. So that means that he was one of the Jews. And you know that it was nobody from the Jewish faith was supposed to say that Jesus Christ is Lord. And I know he's not saying here fully, Brother Roger, he's not Lord, but he's sitting there and he's saying, you know, the scribe is saying, and having heard him reasoning together and perceiving that he had answered them well, asked him. So he knew that Jesus had kind of answered these people well. And if you go up earlier, you can just see that they were always trying to tempt Jesus to try to catch him in his words. And we can see, and one that I really like is if we go back up a little bit farther into Mark 12, into verse 15. "Shall we give or shall we not give?" Let's go back to verse 14, I'm sorry. "And when they were come, they said to him, 'Master, we know that thou art true and carest for no man, for thou regardest not the person of men, but teachest the way of God in truth. Is it lawful to give tribute to Caesar or not? Shall we give or shall we not give?' But he, knowing their hypocrisy, said unto them, 'Why tempt ye me? Bring me a penny that I may see it.' And they brought it, and he saith unto them, 'Whose is this image and superscription?' And they said unto him, 'Caesar's.' And Jesus answering said unto them, 'Render to Caesar the things that are Caesar's, and to God the things that are God's.' And they marveled at him." See, they wanted to tempt him. They wanted to accuse him of going against Caesar, for Caesar was the one that was over Israel. And they wanted to find out. And he says, "Well, should we give tribute unto Caesar or not?" And they were trying to entangle him in his words. And they thought that they, you notice I said, they thought that they could get him, didn't they, Roger? They thought that they could get him. And he said, you know, he looked at that coin and he said, okay, whose image, whose superscription is on here? They said, Caesar's. So give to Caesar the things that are Caesar and render unto God the things that are God. And this goes a little bit with what we're going to go into now, because this scribe kind of turned the tables on Jesus a little bit. You know, you read the four Gospels, and you're going to see a theme through the four Gospels that, you know what, Jesus, what? He asks a lot of questions, doesn't he? And Jay, he doesn't just ask you a question. He says, yeah, no. He's asking you a question. You got to think about what you say, and it's got to be more than a one-word answer back to him. Because it's so easy to sit there and try to give a one-word answer, isn't it? Like when we're parents and we ask our kids, did you do that? Nope. They're only going to answer you just what they need to. Just answer you, nope. So he sits there, and this scribe, who is probably very knowledgeable in the, you know, the ceremonial laws, and the laws of sacrificial laws. So he kind of knew that Jesus was, it's going to be hard to trip him up. But he was going to try, wasn't he? He was going to try, and he says, okay, which is the first commandment of all? Now, you notice that Jesus did not have to think. Jay, he didn't have to think what he was going to say. Not at all. Right away he answered him. And he said, here, this is the first commandment of all. The first of all the commandments is, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. Now you might sit there and you're going to think, well, that's pretty easy. But back then, it wasn't so easy. But he said, hear, O Lord, what does he say? Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. Now, I just want to, let's take a step back in time to the Old Testament. And when Israel was in bondage in Egypt for such a long time, 400 years, God brought them out, and God sat there, and they brought them right up to that land, brought them right up to it, didn't he? That he was going to give Israel for an inheritance. And he sent a group of guys out there and said, okay, I want you to go and I want you to search out the land. And they came back, and 10 out of the 12 gave a bad report, says, we can't do this. There's giants living in the land. They got big walled cities and everything. There is no way that, and what did they say, Susie? There ain't no way we can do it. That we can do it. But you had two that sat there and said, we can go in and we can do that. Because we have, now, Susie, these two said what? We have God on our side. We can do it. Just like in the New Testament, what does it say? I can do all things through Christ, which gives me strength. And these guys were saying that same thing. So it's nothing different from the Old Testament to the New Testament. We can do this because we have the strength of God on our side. People says we can't do it. God says, okay, you're going to wander in the wilderness for 40 years. You don't want to believe me? Finally, they walked around that wilderness for 40 years. And when they got ready to go back in there, God said, what? When you go in there, I want you to get rid of all the people in there. You got to get rid of their gods. You got to get rid of all these things. Because if you don't, what's going to happen? They are going to entangle you. And they're going to become a snare unto you. And there wasn't just one God. The Pharisees had one. This group had another one. you know, Ashtoreth, Belial. They had all these different gods that were out there. So there were all kinds of gods. And you might think in this day and age, it's got to be there's just one god. But if you go into India, they got gods for everything in India. I mean, in India, they believe that a cow is sacred. Gee, I don't know what they do for McDonald's, but I don't know what they eat, but a cow is sacred. So they got all kinds of gods. Even today, but God is saying, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is what? He's one Lord. One Lord." Let me see in Ephesians. In Ephesians chapter 4, in verse 4, "There is one body and one spirit, even as ye are called in one hope of your calling. There's one Lord, there's one faith, there's one baptism, there's one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all." So even the Apostle Paul is teaching us here, you know, there's one God, there's one Lord, there's only one way, there's only one baptism. There's not all kinds of different ways. But what I really like about when I was reading Mark chapter 12 is this next verse. "And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy mind and with all thy strength. This is the first commandment." Now, when I started thinking about this, Brother Roger, thou shalt love the Lord thy God. Now, he's going on, and Jesus is going to tell you, this is how much you need to love the Lord our God. He says, first of all, with all your heart. Now, you've heard me preach before. It's all about the issues of the heart, isn't it? Because when you're born again in the regeneration, what is the first thing that God gives you? He gives you what? A new heart. That old heart was not any good. He needs to give you a new heart. Because that old heart was a heart of stone, hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. So he needs to give us a new heart that we can receive the things that are in the Scripture. Because without being born again and having this interaction in your heart, you are not able to hear, you are not able to see the things that are contained in the Scripture. You can read the things that are contained in the Scripture. And he might give you a little glimpse, but to fully understand everything that is contained in the Scriptures, you must be born again. Jesus is very plain on this, isn't he? "Marvel not that I say unto thee, you must be born again." I think that's very plain, isn't it? You know, people say, "I can't understand King James." I think that's very plain right there. I think everybody can understand that. You must be born again. "Thou shalt love the Lord with all thy heart." Jesus looks at the thoughts and intents of our heart. You know, God says, you know, when they say, I don't know which group it was, that sat there and said, you know, that how come your disciples don't wash their hands when you eat? How can they be clean? And he says, you know, it's not what goes into the mouth, that defiles a man. Isn't that what he says, Brother Roger? Because what? It just goes out of the draft. Goes out in the draft. He says, but what is it? He says, those things that come from what? The heart. Those are the things that defile a man. So even Jesus knew it was what? It was the heart. It was the heart. Notice, one of the things that I want you to notice here, you know, as we read and continue in this verse, it says that we are to love the Lord with all your heart. All your heart. We're going to notice that He doesn't want just half of your heart. He doesn't want a quarter. He doesn't want three quarters of your heart. He wants what? All of your heart. He wants all of it. He wants all of it. So if you're a child of God, He wants your whole heart, not part of it. You've heard me say quite a few times that being a Christian is not a part-time job, it's a full-time job. God doesn't want you part-time, He wants you full-time. He wants you all of the time, every day. In this world and whatever we, you know, He wants you 24/7. 24/7. He wants you. That's what He wants you. And you know what? He is going to accept nothing less than that, Butchie. Nothing less than that. That's what He wants. And He's not going to accept anything less than that. The next one is that He says, and with all thy soul. He wants all of it. This is the word I want you to understand in this verse. It's all. It's all or nothing with Him. Chapter 12 of Romans. You know, I've spoken upon this in the last few weeks. Brother Leroy spoke upon this. I know Brother Roger speaks upon this. Verse, starting at verse 1. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present or yield your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. So He wants all of us. We are to present our bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is our reasonable service. So our soul. Our soul, with all our soul, within the deepest realms of our body, that we are supposed to give all of that to Jesus. Go back to the book of Genesis. We're going way back now. We're going to the beginning of the earth, the beginning of creation. God sat there and He created the world. He created everything. He created everything, didn't He? And then He sat there and He formed man out of the dust of the earth. And He gave man, He breathed into him the breath of life and gave him what? A living soul. You notice that He didn't do that to any other creature, did He? Bill, He didn't do it to anybody else, but to man He did that. He gave man a soul. That's important. That's very important. That's one of the first thing that God did when He formed man. He gave him a soul. How important is it? When we die, our body is still in that grave, isn't it? Our body is in that casket. But where does our soul go to be? It goes to be with the Lord, doesn't it? And there is going to come a day, as the song is coming, a day when body and soul will be reunited in heaven. And I know some people speculate, Susie, they say, you know what? Gee, what kind of body am I going to have? You know what? I'm not worried about what kind of body I'm going to have. I'm just thankful that my body and my soul are going to be reunited and be in heaven. I don't care. Some people, well, I want to be back when I was 18 years old and young and, you know, good looking. Not that I say I'm not good looking now, but anyway, you know, some people worried about that. You know, the secret things belong to God, the Bible says. I'm not going to worry about that, Mabel Ann. I'm just worried that when the roll is called yonder, as the song says, you know, that I'm one of those that names that he's going to call and everything. That's what I'm worried about. I want to be there with him, looking in there. But see, isn't it so awesome that our soul goes to be with him? And we are with our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. That's going to be so awesome. So we've looked at a couple of things now. So we've looked at our heart and with our soul and with all our mind. Okay, that's a rough one. That is a rough one, Roger, with all our mind. Because in this day and age, our mind gets pulled in a lot of different directions. And we see a lot of things that maybe ain't really good for us to see. You know, you can see billboards along the highways. You can even go into the mall and you can see things. My wife will attest that we were watching TV the other day and this commercial come on, and it was, what, during the news. And it was for a store. I'm not going to say what a store. And the woman was on there, and the man, because of Sweetest Day, they were very scantily clad. And she's like, why would they do this during a newscast, have this commercial during the newscast, when children could see something like this, which is not good? So we can see our mind can be pulled in 1,000 different directions. And we know that with our heart and with our soul and with our mind, who do we have that's trying to pull us away from God all the time? Who's in the world today to try to get us to stumble and fall? Satan is in the world today. Now, I don't know about anybody else, but I haven't been able to physically see Satan. I know we're getting close to Halloween, that a lot of people celebrate and go, and they, you know, they always, you know, people will dress up as the devil, you know, and they got the horns and the tail and the pitchfork and everything. And I don't know where they've ever got that from. But this is what they think, and they want to make Satan to be real. Well, Satan is real, but Satan is not a physical person that is in the world today. He's not a physical person. He's a spirit. And you might say, well, Dave, how can you say that? Because of Ephesians. When it talks about in chapter 6, when it talks about putting on the whole armor of God, what does it say there, Brother Jay? For we wrestle not against flesh and blood. We don't wrestle with flesh and blood. But are we in a wrestling match? Oh, we are. He wants to wrestle with us, and he thinks that he can pin us down and he can gain the victory. So is this an easy thing that Jesus is telling us to do here? No, it's not an easy thing to do. It's a hard thing to do. Because Satan tries to pull us away all the time. And he tries to get us. Because Satan thinks that he can gain the victory. He thinks that he can cause one saint of God to stumble. But I'm here to help you, or here to tell you, and here to help you, that he might cause you to stumble. Don't get me wrong. He might cause you to stumble, but you are never going to fall. Because remember, the Scriptures say that we have gained the victory through who? Through Dave, through Roger, through Leroy. No, we can gain the victory through our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. That's the only way we can gain the victory. And when we're out there, we're wrestling against flesh and blood in Ephesians chapter 6, and it talks about putting on the whole armor of God. See, in certain spots you can see it's very specific in the Bible. But here it says, in these four or five things here, it says all. Twice in Ephesians chapter 6, it says to put on the whole armor of God. When we go out into the world, again, because we're not wrestling against flesh and blood, it's not a physical armor, it's a spiritual armor. And because we have Jesus Christ on our side, we can go forward. Because one of the things that you look at as you read Ephesians chapter 6 and the armor of God, if you notice, everything is where, Roger? On the front. We have nothing on the back. Because we are not going to retreat. We are not going to retreat. Greater is he that is in the world than greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Who do we have living within us? Jesus Christ. He is greater than Satan. It's through our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ that we have gained the victory. So we're going to continue to go forward. But it's a daily thing when we get up. In Matthew, when it talks about the model prayer, the Lord's Prayer, whatever you want to call it, it says, give us what? Give us this day our daily bread. Give us today those things we stand in need of to get us through the day. Give us this day our daily bread. Help us to get through this day. Help us today, Lord, to help me to love you with all my heart and with all my soul and with all our mind. And it goes on, not only our mind, but with all our strength. That means with every little bit that was in our body, with all our strength, that we are going to love the Lord our God. Now, I know the Bible says that bodily exercise profiteth little. But I believe in this one, Brother Roger, he's not talking about physical strength. He's talking about spiritual strength. With our spiritual strength, we need to love the Lord God. Again, I'm going to go back to the heart because, you know, that old heart could not receive the things that be of the Spirit of God. We have to have our new heart to receive those things, those spiritual things. Because those are the things that are foolishness unto those who are not a child of God. With all thy strength. So we have four things that we are to love the Lord our God. This is the first commandment. Now at the top of the page it says, you know what? This is the great commandment. And there's a few things in the Scriptures and the four Gospels that they call great. If you go to the last chapter in Matthew, it's the Great Commission. Now we've got this great commandment from God. These are things that we need to do. You know, it says that we would do His will. And what is His will? Well, here's the will of God and what we should do in loving Him all the time. And then He goes on and Jesus says, you know, I want us to understand this is actually Jesus telling us these things. It's not Peter, it's not Paul, it's not James, it's not John, it's not any of these other ones. It's Jesus. Jesus is on the earth, God incarnate in the flesh, and He's telling us these things. And He's trying to teach His disciples, and He's trying to teach the people to help them to understand. And the second is like, namely, that this, that thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. There is none other commandment greater than these. How far away from this has the world gotten? To love your neighbor as yourself. We can't do that. We don't do that in the world. I know as Christians we try to do these things. But we've gotten so far away from this. And it's something we need to get back to doing. We need to get back to those basics sometimes, Brother Roger. So the scribe sits there and he's talking to Jesus now and he says, even though there was a multitude there, he's trying to talk with Jesus. And that's what makes this more amazing, Brother Roger, that the scribe is talking to Jesus and saying, Jesus, hey, you answer these guys pretty good and everything, because there's a lot of people of his same religious affiliation back then. And they were there and they were listening to him. And the scribe said unto him, well, Master, thou hast said the truth. This was amazing for him to say. One, that he called him Master. And two, he was saying, you know, you have said the truth. For there is one God, and there is none other but He. And I mean, the Jews could not argue with what Jesus had said, because this was exactly what they believed in. They just did not believe that Jesus was the Messiah. And to love Him with all the heart, and with all the understanding, and with all the soul, and with all the strength, and to love his neighbor as himself, is more than all whole burnt offerings and sacrifices. Now, Brother Roger, when he probably said that, everything probably screeched to a halt. Whoa, wait a minute. This guy is saying to do this is what? Better than what? He says is more than all whole burnt offerings and sacrifices. So he's kind of saying that, okay, that sacrificial laws that were in the Old Testament, to do this is better than that. That's going in a new direction, isn't it, Brother Roger? That's not a direction nobody has went into back then, but he's saying this is what it is. And Jesus, when he saw that he had answered discreetly or wisely, he said unto him, thou art not far from the kingdom of God. You notice he said he wasn't there. He said he's not far from the kingdom of God. He hadn't quite got there yet. And I like that the last words in verse 34, and no man after that dared ask him any questions. That says durst, but that word durst means dared. And again, I know people sit there and say, well, how can you understand the King James Version? Well, you know what? If you read that, and if you're any kind of a scholar and know everything and can read a sentence, you can kind of figure out what that word durst means from in there. Jesus is trying to teach us something here, as Jesus tries to teach us in everything in here. Throughout those four Gospels, when Jesus sits there and talks, He just tries to instruct us in the things that be of the kingdom of God. And we need to read the Word of God. I want to exhort you, as Peter and Paul do in a lot of their writings, I exhort you to
Read the Scriptures. Search the Scriptures to see if these things are so. Not only read and search, but study out the Scriptures. Because these are the things that are going to keep us spiritually strong. Don't leave off reading the Scriptures. Don't leave off going to the Lord in prayer. Like I say, I know so many times we ask things of God. And again, when we ask, you know, the Bible says ye ask and receive not, because ye ask amiss that ye may consume it upon your lusts. So, I mean, sometimes we think that we can fool God, but we can't fool God. God, Jesus Christ, know everything about us. Like I said, they know the thoughts and intents of our hearts. And in Psalms it says, you know what? He knows the words we're going to speak before we even speak it. So He knows everything about us. It says in there, He says, you know what? He knows our down sitting. He knows our uprising. He knows everything about us. And you have heard me say that, you know what? We can say that I know Jesus, I know God, and I love Him. And we can say it with the mouth, but you have heard me say, where does it have to come from? The heart. It's got to come from within. It has to come from the heart. We just can't say it. We have to live it. Just like I said, we can talk the walk, but we have to walk the walk, don't we? That's all. That's what it is. And that's what Jesus is saying here. You can talk it, but can you walk it? That's what you need to do. You have to love me with all your heart. You have to love me with all your soul. You have to love me with all your mind. And you have to love me with all your strength. So in this week ahead, I'd like you to go to God in prayer and ask Him to help us. I'm not saying just you guys. I'm saying Dave needs to do this. Help me, Lord, to do these things. And to let people see that in our lives. That we are following, you know, Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ. And that they are, as Peter and James and John, when they were before the Sanhedrin. I'm going to close with this. And as they were sitting there and they were talking before the Sanhedrin was questioning Him. That they saw that they were unlearned, as they call them, unlearned and ignorant men, but took note what? That they had been with Jesus. Our heart's prayer and desire that people would be able to, Brother Roger, take note that we have been with Jesus. I want to thank each and every one of you for your kind attention today. Does anybody have a song in closing?